Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
It is an absolutely glorious weekend here, and we are glad to be with you on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens along with Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is sponsored by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and here's another website you need to know and visit often. It's called theadvertisingshow.com. That's where we keep the shows. After we stream them live, we actually keep them on a little disc. Actually, it's a big disc because there's so many. And you can go back and listen to those shows, download them. Even if you have to run to for some reason for today's shows, right. You know, run out and buy some more diazinon.
Right.
You can get that show archived.
We prefer gloves, though, if you do that.
Do you? Especially after diazinon.
Yeah.
Right? Drew Neiser is our special guest today, President and Chief Executive Officer of Renegade Marketing. And we will be talking with Drew here in just a little while. Drew is in New York today. Already got in a soccer game earlier this morning.
Hmm.
And so he's now with us on the Advertising Show.
Yeah, well, it should be a good show. We're going to talk about guerrilla marketing with Drew and a bunch of other things. He has a great background. He happened to have, before starting his own company, Renegade Marketing, was an executive with Wells Rich, J. Walter Thompson, and Shiat Day. So he's
I think I've heard of those agencies.
Yeah, I think he has a background.
Probably so.
Yeah.
So he's been around, and today he's making a stop on the Advertising Show.
Yeah, and some of the brands he's worked on is Listerine, so we can bring him real close to us. It's okay.
Are there any alcoholic beverages he's worked on?
Well, let me look here. Sara Lee, but I don't think that's the woman. I think that's the brand.
I just
remember her.
So I certainly do remember Sara Lee. Anyway, we've got Drew on in, just about 10 minutes from now here on the Advertising Show.
Yeah. So how was your golf game this morning, Ray?
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
What a great day to play golf as well.
When you have a handicap like you, you're always shooting par, aren't you?
Yeah. You get 18 strokes a game, that's for sure. And if you play only 9, you get 36 or something like that.
Well, ever since I lost my clubs, I just wander around in the woods. It's cheaper, no green fees.
See, it's not Bigfoot, it's Brad.
Any kind of shoes work.
Shoes now, many of the golf courses are no longer allowing those metal spikes. They've banned those things.
Why is that?
Well, they say it digs up the greens too much, and it also promotes the spread of the weeds and all kinds of good stuff. So,
you know, I've always heard that my neighbor, who's a huge gardening freak, he said that if you have a problem with your lawn, it's been said that you put on your golf shoes and walk your lawn, and it helps aerate your grass.
No, I don't believe that, because what you do with the golf shoes certainly doesn't do the way you would normally aerate, which is like taking big plugs out of your golf or out of the lawn.
Well, knowing
that's the way you should be.
Knowing this guy, the grass he's referring to could be something different than what I'm talking about.
So he's wearing sandals then.
And a headband.
Patrick Meyer's on the way here, the from Fusion 5, and we also have, we got the Wacky World of Marketing. We have, for your listening pleasure, Andy Borowitz, a little feature from him coming up in just a little while. As a matter of fact, let's talk about Patrick. Let's get him on right now. How's that sound?
Great.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Here is the absolute kiss of death in marketing. It's what I call so-so marketing. When you ask someone, how is your brand? How's your business? And they say, it's so-so. You just heard the biggest problem in marketing. I call it so-so. That's same old, same old. Say it after me. Same old marketing. The kiss of death. Most companies get complacent. They fail to evolve. They don't reinvent. They fail to challenge the sacred cows. They basically think they have the formula. The biggest culprits? Senior management. They came up through the ranks. They want to do it the way they did it 10 years ago. Even the ad agencies, oftentimes, are big culprits of same old marketing. Yet the consumer's screaming out, give me something different. Make it fun, make me smile, surprise me, delight me, bring me intriguing things that I can talk about with my friends. Who's good at this? Richard Branson and his team at Virgin. They make you want to scream with delight. Virgin Airlines, Virgin Mobile, Virgin Music. Let me share with you what's written on the wall, the mission statement at Virgin Mobile. And this is like no mission statement that's in any corporate boardroom. We're the little guy who thought big. Now we're the big guy who tries to think little. And so Virgin came into markets that were glutted with compromise, with consumers who were consistently lied to or ripped off or treated with not a little contempt. And we became, in essence, the alternative. The alternative by making things work a little better, last a little longer, are more fun to operate and use and be around than other things. We believe that value is not a dead concept, that moments of wow are still possible. That, my friends, is surprise and delight marketing, not the same old that most companies do. Give it a try, and definitely look out for same old, same old.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
And that's Patrick Meyer with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Always some good advice from Patrick, and it's always fun to have him as part of the show. Drew Neisser coming up here in just a moment or so, the president and chief executive officer of Renegade Marketing. So we're going to be having a chance to talk with Drew in just a few minutes now.
Everything you want to know about guerrilla warfare and marketing.
Guerrilla marketing, yes.
Well, and warfare.
And warfare.
I'm throwing that in.
Are you?
Yeah, just as a bonus item. Ray, you know Pat O'Brien, the former CBS sports guy who I guess now he's more known for, I guess, Access Hollywood as the
No, he's a great on-camera and, you know, just a great roundabout good person on television and the entertainment.
Apparently the word is, Ray, that Pat O'Brien has seriously considered and is seriously considering challenging incumbent Republican Mike Rounds in the 2006 election for governor of South Dakota.
Oh, really?
And, you know, O'Brien, a Democrat, has said that his desire for running for office predates his broadcast career. A lot of people may not know this. I was impressed with this. He's a graduate of University of South Dakota and also attended international studies for economics at Johns Hopkins University. O'Brien grew up studying studying politics. He's quoted as saying, and he also, this is another interesting tidbit, worked for the Kennedys and worked for George McGovern.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently, you know, of course, could this have to do with Arnold?
No, I don't know. And I don't know.
Well, the word I heard recently as well is Tom Arnold.
Don't, please,
I'm
no.
serious Come about this. Now. Tom Arnold Come is on. Considering running for the governor of Iowa.
Let's put it this way. If Gopher from the Love Boat, is that his name, Gopher? Could win.
He's a senator, I believe.
Yes, he is. Well, then Pat O'Brien could probably go for it.
Well, I'm
not sure about Tom, though.
I can only hope that this is not a beginning of a groundswell for, you know, actors turned politics and running for office. What do you think?
I really don't think it matters because I think they're all pretty much the same qualifications.
True.
I think you and I could run if we wanted to.
Well, I have mentioned that it's, it kind of goes back to when, Barry Switzer was head coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You or I could have, you know, stood on the sideline and pretty much ended up with the same record, I believe, at the end of that first season. Don't you think?
Considering the fact that I know nothing about football,
well,
probably so.
Just stand there.
Right.
Look
exactly.
Good.
Look mean.
Yeah.
And talk on your headset.
Right.
Drew Neisser coming up next, president and chief executive officer from Renegade Marketing. We'll be talking to Drew out of New York City in just a little while here after we play some commercials. Those are such good things, those commercials.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad.
Back on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth in a classic spot from Chiquita Banana there. And we've got a special guest today. His name is Drew Neisser. Drew, like your basic handsaw, Drew has a distinctive knack for cutting through, especially the BS that pervades the marketing industry. After 15 years of working at the big agencies, Wells, Rich Green, JWT, Chiat Day, On the big brands, Century 21, Listerine, Slice, IBM, Sara Lee, Canon, etc., Drew co-founded Renegade Marketing with funding from Dentsu USA in 96. Since then, Drew has helped grow Renegade into a unique marketing resource, delivering target-specific solutions for such clients as Panasonic, Nike, Novartis, and Fannie Mae. So, his early triumphs at Renegade include Brad fathering the Panasonic traffic cam and conceiving the Time Me Up, Time Me Down. That's not Time Me Up. Time Me Up, Time Me Down press event for G-Shock, for which the New York Post gave Casio a marketing chutzpah award.
Well, you know,
wouldn't that be nice to get a chutzpah award?
Using the word fathering and conceiving pertaining to two particular products is a very interesting way of delivering that information.
Yes, it is.
And you were just reading his writing. That's not you, right, Ray?
No, I rewrote his bio.
Oh, you did.
His pretty much sucks, so we rewrote it there.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Drew. Nice to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, Drew, it's not often that we're able to actually read the bio on someone and they're willing to admit where they got their funding to start their company. But in your case, Dentsu USA, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, they're great. Great. Dentsu is one of the largest advertising brands in the world.
Yeah. So you keep you make sure that at the end of the year you show no profits, maybe a loss, so that they just stay away from you.
You know, nobody seems to fall for that anymore.
No.
It's Dentsu on the phone, Drew. Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got an important call for you.
Yeah.
But stay on the line.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about guerrilla marketing, which seems to be your specialty, although we're going to be all over the place today. But focus in on guerrilla marketing. Let's start, Drew, by giving us and our audience, if you would please, your definition of guerrilla marketing.
Well, you know, the major domo, the guru of guerrilla marketing is J. Conrad Levinson, and he defined guerrilla marketing as when you don't have enough money to take a traditional approach, sort of the motherhood being the necessity being the motherhood of invention. And I think that's still true. He wrote that book maybe 25 years ago, but way we like to think of it, when we talk about renegade marketing, we take it a step farther and really looking to create a direct contact, if you will, a brand shake with the consumer, where they have an experience that they that is unforgettable, that is unzappable, and that gets them to change their perception about a brand.
And so the channels that you might use to have a direct contact with a consumer, talk a little bit about what those might be.
Well, it really depends on the target and the client and their objectives, but I can give you an example. For Panasonic, who is targeting a Gen Y group, will be at concerts, for example, with converted ambulances and give these youth a chance to interact with the brand in a way that they say, wow, Panasonic's a lot cooler than we expected. And more importantly, this product that I just touched is something I got to have.
Mm-hmm. And that's so I assume that's some of your work that you're doing for the traffic cam, huh?
That's actually a different program, works completely differently. But I'll get back to your question about points of contact, mm-hmm. and how sort of we see that there are a universe of guerrilla opportunities in practically every medium. There's guerrilla online with viral programs. There's all sorts of offline opportunities, sometimes where you're going to the consumer at a place they're already at, or you're on the street, for example, is sort of a classic place to have that interaction. It could also be at a trade show. It could be we did a lot of guerrilla programs for IBM that were within the confines of trade shows.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, when they hear viral marketing online, they think of something that maybe ran its course a few years ago when there's a little more buzz going on about the Internet. Is that something that still is a valid channel today?
I think it is. It is something that every client would love to have a viral program in their arsenal. And why not?
Mm-hmm.
If you can get the consumer to do the work for you and send something they find interesting to 10 of their friends, and all of a sudden you have millions of people viewing what it is that you want or coming to your website because you did something that really sparked their imagination. And it's relatively inexpensive. I wouldn't say that I would rely on a viral program, but at the same time, I would never, there's so many opportunities to at least consider viral.
Yeah, not questioning the legitimacy or the desire to have a viral program, but I was thinking more along the lines of the curiosity factor seemed to be working in its favor a few years ago, and you just, I guess, don't hear so much about viral programs that have huge successes as you did a few years ago. Am I just not reading the right trade publications, or what's going on there?
Well, it's true that it's harder for me to come up with examples, other than stuff that we've done, of sort of ones. But I think if you look at that Honda commercial, the COG commercial,
right.
I mean, that's a great example of a viral at work. They ran that thing once in England, and now millions and millions of people have seen it all over the world. And that was in the last 3 to 4 months.
So right.
I think you'll hear about the huge successes. You may not hear about some of the smaller ones, but right. they're definitely out there. And it is a shame that the methodology sort of got damned, if you will, with the demise of the dot-coms, because the innovation that the dot-coms brought didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now the practitioners of viral tend to be more mainstream companies.
Of course, the Honda commercial referring to the COG was the one of the major winners in this past spring's Cannes Ad Festival in Cannes, France. Wanted to ask you about Jay Levinson, since you mentioned his name. I've often wondered, did he screw up and not copyright the word guerrilla marketing? Because I see so many others using that. Did he miss that opportunity in trademarking that?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I don't know for sure. It could have been that he couldn't copyright it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be?
Because you can't. You and I, we couldn't copyright the word advertising.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a descriptor of a type of marketing.
Right. Too generally accepted as a generic type reference.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if you called it Levinson's guerrilla marketing or something
yeah,
like that,
well,
you could
certainly.
Sure.
He is right, but.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if he certainly is the first associated with it, and maybe it was he either couldn't do it or it was a conscious decision. In the same way, IBM made the decision not to copyright e-business,
mm-hmm.
even though they could have.
As opposed to the guy that screwed up and didn't trademark or the fingers for the yellow pages.
Yellow pages, right.
Yeah, that guy's now. Living in South Africa,
he just trademarked one of the fingers.
That's
that
true.
Sort of doesn't work.
The one
no.
you're showing me now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you, Drew. Well,
we got about a minute here.
We have
right?
a minute left
yeah.
here. Just a minute in this segment, Drew. I think most people consider guerrilla marketing or associate it with small business, and today we see it so much greater used in larger companies. I'm going to ask you after the break to share with us why you think larger companies today are taking on guerrilla marketing tactics, whereas before it was just small business.
Okay.
So if you want to write that question down, it'd be a good time to do it, Drew.
Okay, you got it.
Drew Neiser, our special guest here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Drew is President and Chief Executive Officer of Renegade Marketing Group. By the way, if you want to find out more and you're listening to your radio, you can go online right now and find renegademarketing.com. That's his website there. So we've got the wacky world of marketing. Andy Borowitz is on the way, and we've got some goodvertising coming your way later on this hour with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. As long as we're talking about websites, by the way, what we need to do is tell you about The Advertising Show's website. TheAdvertisingShow.com is a great source of information about the show and about advertising and marketing in general. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now it's time for the wacky world of marketing.
Wacky world of marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update comes from Anova, where a Dutch sex club is organizing its own lottery with a chance to have sex in a limo while it drives through Rotterdam as top prize. Lauren Voss, owner of the Fun for Two Club, says, "I've done it myself in Las Vegas, and it was so much fun I wanted to organize it in Holland as well. It gives me a kick having sex while driving in front of the Queen's Palace." The couples who win the lottery will be able to claim the prize and will be allowed to invite two other couples to share the limousine with them. But of course, the driver has to watch out for traffic. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Once upon a time there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell.
Yes, indeed, The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And our special guest, Drew Neisser, President and Chief Executive Officer of Renegade Marketing. Drew, it's good to have you on the show out of New York today. And Brad, you had a question for Drew.
Yeah, I was mentioning guerrilla marketing. I think a lot of people do associate guerrilla marketing with small business companies that typically do not have the level of ad budget that we see with the larger companies, of course. But yet today, guerrilla marketing is a more respected tactic that's used by all companies of all sizes. Why do you think this is, Drew?
Well, I think there are several reasons, and they're all sort of converging on large companies. I mean, our client base is almost all big companies, and the first reason is money. Even the big guys don't have as much money as they would like to have, and their dollars don't go as far on television as they used to. But you know, and the second part of that is that, you know, I don't know if you saw the thing in Ad Age which said, you know, TV ads are not effective for car guys.
No, yeah, right.
Well, you know, that's how much are they spending? $14 billion? And so the car companies are, and all of them, almost all of them, are engaged in one way or another in guerrilla, are saying, well, gosh, if TV isn't working and word of mouth is the primary driver of car sales, well, how do we affect word of mouth? Well, you do that by getting to a hardcore group of influencers and, you know, setting up a Camp Jeep or Mercedes Test Tracks or Harley-Davidson Clubs or any other, you know, sort of way of getting the consumer to spend more time with your brand and getting the right person to do it. I think there's an even more compelling reason for the big companies to look at guerrilla today. It's that the market has splintered between ethnic and between baby boomers, Gen Y, Gen X, all of whom sort of really come at advertising in a completely different way, particularly as you get to the younger target who's just tuning out advertising for all practical purposes, or at least telling you when you can advertise. Guerrilla is a way of knowing for sure that you've touched the person that you've touched and to get them to spend a lot more time with your brand. I mean, a 30-second TV commercial, no matter what you do, it's 30 seconds. A billboard is 6 seconds. Many of the guerrilla interactions that we do, we're dealing with 15, 20, sometimes, you know, 30 minutes. And with these car companies, they're looking at some, you know, almost a day with the brand. Mm. So that kind of truly amazing and influencing experience is sort of getting the big companies to say, wow, well, maybe we do need to at least hedge our bets. Mm-hmm. They're not moving. They're still spending money on television, but they're taking 10% of their dollars and saying, well, let's make sure that we have this guerrilla thing going too.
You know, earlier this week I was talking to Hall of Fame art director George Lois, icon and legend in the ad business from years ago and still certainly active today. And I was mentioning, he asked me who was going to be the guest this week and what we're going to talk about. And I mentioned guerrilla marketing, and he said, with, of course, his strong Brooklyn accent. No, wait a minute, Bronx accent, I believe.
Right.
Like you and I could tell the difference, right, Ray?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, that's that writing on the sidewalks and stuff and on the walls where they put your name of your brand. I said, George, I thought they called that graffiti in your area. And he said, yeah, why don't you ask that guy about that? But since you mentioned Generation Xers, let's talk a little bit, Drew, about different approaches, more effective approaches, and certainly in reaching Gen Xers today. And it's not typically your traditional media that work with Gen Xers, right?
No, it's true. And, I mean, that was the first generation that really grew up advertising aware and to the point that they so knew all the tricks. They had been through all the, I mean, advertising had for years gotten away with, how should we say it, just not always telling the truth. And so they earned a degree of skepticism. And so for them, you know, speech, they know that the claims aren't true. So what for them touching them and showing them and letting them experience the brand is quite powerful. And they want to be interacted to. They want to be talked to.
Is there?
And I think, and there's this funny because there's this new group that the Echo Boomers, who there's a lot of a talk in the industry about because the car companies are trying so hard to get at them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Scion with Toyota and Scion and all these guys are trying to get after them. And it's interesting what's coming, what's happening as a result. Again. The next level after Gen Y, the Gen X, those guys saying, you know what, I'm not even going to look at your ad unless I want to. So I've got TiVo. I know how to use that. I know how to zap everything. But if you entertain me, you know what, I like entertaining ads. So anyway, it's an interesting, every single group has their different little quirks, but the... You know, what if you look at this most recent group, they're one out of three are ethnic. They're not, you know, that's a huge 33% are not your what we would have looked at as your Aussie at Harriet household.
You know, we were in a Toyota dealership this past week, and they have a Scion exhibit, and
right.
This is totally different than Toyota, you know, does. It's you walk onto a ramp. It's an elevated platform. Mm-hmm. There's a flat screen TV with lots of graphics, cool furniture, everything like that. It's really, really, really focused on that generation.
That's just what Drew's talking about. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Drew
it is.
Neiser. Hey, Drew, we're going to take a break here. In
okay.
just a moment, we come back and have more conversation with Drew on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Stay with us.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe are taking your questions at theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
Oh, you need pup, pup, pup to make a pupper dutter. Marshmallow pup and lots of peanut butter. First you spread, spread, spread your bread with peanut butter. Add marshmallow pup and have a pupper nutter. When you enjoy, joy, joy.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Now, how come nobody sued Fluffernutter for making our kids fat?
I think S'mores.
S'mores
got the hit.
Did they?
Yeah.
Drew Neiser is our special guest. We're talking about guerrilla marketing and a whole bunch of cool stuff today. President and Chief Executive Officer of Renegade Marketing Group, and we're talking to Drew out of New York today on The Advertising Show.
Yeah, well, let's jump into online, talk a little bit about the Internet. A lot certainly has been written about the Internet suggesting that its future is going to be content-driven, yet others suggest that it's a transactional channel. And you know, myself, I think that, I think it's going to be an entertainment delivery channel, but it may be a lot of those things. What is your take on that?
Well, my answer is yes.
To all of those.
This is the first medium that is all of the above and then some.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that for marketers, it couldn't have arrived at a better time. Just at the moment when traditional advertising just completely fell off in terms of its ability to reach a large group of people and influence them. Here comes a medium where the consumer gets to navigate and decide where they want to go. And you know what? If you're on a financial services site and you see a financial services ad, you know what? Guess what? You'll probably click on it because mm-hmm. There's so many interesting elements. I don't even want to get lost in Internet advertising per se, but what we have found is the combination of guerrilla and online is killer, in that the guerrilla creates the sort of the experience. It doesn't close the sale, but it gets it pretty well started. And if you can get them online, you can really move that to a sale quite quickly in a way that the consumer is still in control, but that the marketer can sort of walk them through right there to the cash register. It's so exciting what's happening there. Where you know, if you get a name and they've given you permission to give them information, and you treat that name as a really sacred piece of you know, this is gold in your hands, and then you build a relationship with them over time. I mean, you can't do that with advertising.
Yeah, and I think what you're describing, and just for our audience's purposes, if you're not familiar, you know, there's banner advertising online, and I think that industry is still wrestling, and agencies as well, with metrics and some kind of way to determine value for that kind of advertising. But yet what you're talking about, I believe, and maybe you want to talk a little more about this, Drew, is really a guerrilla tactic. Really, you're talking about integration of an online presence through other channels eventually, right?
Oh, that's right. Where you get you start the relationship offline, where you get them in the right frame of mind, you get them interested. I mean, I think the statistics on car buying is that maybe 60-70% of people, and maybe that go online before they buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
But which sites do they go to? Where do they go to? You can influence that offline. And then you can, and if you can get them into some informational zone and entertainment zone, you have a chance to certainly to influence that purchase or build a relationship to influence the purchase.
You know, with respect to automobiles, if you're buying used, you're going to go to an Edmunds type site or something like that that's
right.
Going to give some good qualitative information. You wouldn't necessarily go to a car dealership site. But
right.
Would you go for a car dealership site for something new? That's an interesting question.
I think what happens today is you have both a factory-driven website where a consumer can begin to zero in on various product models or brands. Mm-hmm. And then from there, what I believe is happening, Drew, and what may want to get your take on this, is that once they decide upon a brand, they now go to a local dealer or two and look at their site and begin to get educated and differentiate one dealership from another before they go in. A consumer today is armed with information, and the car business has certainly changed.
Yeah, there's really no doubt about it. And the balance of power has shifted where we used to go into the dealership afraid, very afraid. Now we go in where the sales guy goes, "Oh shoot, you know what my book, you know what the price of this car is better than I do.
You know more information than I do."
But the same thing's happening in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is happening in a lot of places. We see it in consumer electronics. Something, again, it's like 66% of people go online before they make a major consumer electronics purchase.
Mm-hmm. Ray was shopping for a car the other day, and he got confused, and the car salesman said, "Turn your head and cough." That was an unusual thing.
I was at the doctor's office, right?
You were, yes.
Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show with our special guest today, Drew Neiser, President and Chief Executive Officer of Renegade Marketing Group. We'll be back in just a minute with more of the Advertising Show.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't. Almond Joy's got real milk chocolate, coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
I guess we're selling movie candy this hour. Huh? We got Good and Plenty, we got Fluffernutters, and now we got Mounds.
And you know, to keep the
low-calorie Mounds,
keep the profit margins up on that, the box that you get, small children need their brothers and sisters to help them drag it back to the seat. You've seen the size of these things?
Yeah. That's something I don't get into is candy. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, every week we feature good advertising and not so good advertising. And what this does, this is an attempt to help you better understand what works in marketing from our perspective and what doesn't work. So you can apply these thoughts and processes to your local marketing campaign. Whether I don't care if you're spending $1,000 next week on radio or TV, listen closely. It's this week. It's good, by the way.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
Hey, you know, we did some research on the Juneau, Alaska market this past week. Okay,
what'd you find out?
Well, not a lot. They're not an Arbitron rated market.
They're not?
No.
Yeah.
They gave that up because there's a population of 30,000, a town. That's the capital of Alaska, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I thought Fairbanks. No, you're right.
Oh,
yeah.
Juneau.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they said, no, it's too expensive. We don't want to do that. So how do you tell who's number one? Well,
Well, they'll be like other markets. They'll all claim to be number
exactly.
one.
Exactly. So we've got good advertising this week. What have you got for
well,
us?
Well, Doyle Dane Birnbaugh, DDB Chicago. You may recall, Ray, that we remember when we had Clio winning radio campaigns on several
sure
months ago or a few weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Andrew Jaffe, former director of the Clio Awards, sent us some of those for his appearance. And what was really funny, you may recall, was the campaign for Bud Light.
It was a great campaign.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Apparently, Bud Light is attempting to make the transition with that same campaign from radio to television, the campaign being entitled Real Men of Genius Spots. Mm-hmm. And, of course, converting any radio campaign to TV, I think, is a risky undertaking. But yet, I believe Bud Light pulls it off. And if you haven't seen the two spots we're going to talk about here, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
I've one already of, seen them.
Yeah. And, yes. And the other one is Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Yes.
The two that are out right now, of course, if you've heard the radio spots, you will catch up.
I'm going to go see if I can find those. Keep talking.
Okay. You will know the TV spots. And I think the reason why Bud Light has been able to pull the Real Men of Genius spots off is that they have not gone overboard in terms of transitioning the visual elements from the from what you heard on radio. And just to remind people, in case Ray's unable to find the copies of these spots, is that the they bounce back and forth between an announcer and a person singing. And so the announcer says one thing, the singer belts it out, and then you've got visuals going back and forth that support what the singer is singing and talking about. Hopefully Ray will find these for you, and you'll be able to hear this. The reason, back to the Really Bad Toupee Wearer and the Footlong Hot Dog Inventor, they really have taken a great step in transitioning what I think has been a very difficult spot to transition over to, again, keeping the same impact as they have on radio. And I think what really, as I mentioned earlier, is making this successful is that it does not take the scenes and go overboard with trying to describe what they've got going there by putting a singer in a studio situation singing the same lyrics that you hear on the radio is what makes this spot work. Hats off to DDB Chicago for Bud Light campaign, and they're doing what advertisers, Ray, are typically afraid to do today, which is to take a risk and stick your neck out on a wacky idea that really cuts through the clutter. So they've done a great job with that.
Let's see if we can find the spot here. That's not it. Let's try the next one
here. That's a South.
January 8th.
No.
January
11th.
That's not it.
That's Southwest Air.
Bud Light has been in Calgary for some time now. Perhaps you didn't realize this because the Bud Light Institute's original radio campaign was somewhat less than successful. Take the double negative commercial, for example.
You don't work not very hard at your job. That's why we'd never not introduce Bud Light to Calgary. Because Bud Light is not the beer that's never cool, never refreshing, and doesn't not go down with good times.
That's not exactly the spot we're looking
no,
for.
But that's
it
for all
it was a good one. That was one of the Clio Awards.
Yeah, it was. And for all of our friends in Canada.
Bud Light. Here we go.
This is it.
Real men of genius.
Real men of genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Hollywood Plastic Surgeon.
Mr. Hollywood. Surgeon.
Great actors are born, not made. And when they're born with a big, fat, honking schnoz, you are there.
Doctor, can you help me?
It's a tough town that demands talent, and talent can't be bought. But a huge set of distracting knockers can.
We got to get out of here. Anyway, there you go. So, good stuff.
DDB Chicago did a great job with Bud Light on that.
All right. Yeah. There we have the good advertising. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget our website, theadvertisingshow.com. Of course, we're streaming live here at theadvertisingshow.com as well. So, thanks to Drew Neisser. Don't forget to go to renegademarketing.com to find out more about his company and Guerrilla Marketing. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show, is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. And we're here nationwide on the SSI Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Right here on The Old Advertising Show. I guess you could call it The
Old Advertising Show.
Yeah. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show being a big radio midget production makes it so splendid, it's unbelievable. Our special guest, Drew Neiser, this hour. Drew is, he garnered two Effie Awards for Panasonic ToughBook, a product that both he named and helped grow into the leading ruggedized notebook PC line. Recent accolades include winning a Guerrilla Marketing of the Year for IBM, a Silver Reggie, not a Wedgie, a Silver Reggie for Nautica and Web Awards for Panasonic, Nautica, and Seagram's. Well, there we found one. I wonder what he did for Seagram's. I'll have to ask him.
Well, if he's doing any sampling, at least it's Saturday, not during business hours.
Yeah, right.
Or
after
the weekend.
Soccer game, right?
It's on the weekend.
So we've got Mary Lou Quinlan on the way, and we also have Andy Borowitz on the way as well. And the wacky world of marketing. And we got Drew on in just a little while.
Yeah, and don't let anybody tell you the power of the Internet is not powerful. I have an email in my hands that I received a few days ago, Ray.
Yes.
It's a real short message here. Hi, Brad. Let me know where I can tune in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Saludos, Naida Rodriguez.
Really?
So we sent her a note, and until we get cleared in San Juan, it will be online or through the archives.
Big antenna on the roof there.
At theadvertisingshow.com. Yes, and if she clicks onto the Spanish version, no. But then, wouldn't that be neat? Just have somebody to translate. They translate you and me, and they just do the show.
That could be dangerous.
Couldn't do subtitles because it's radio.
No.
But
no.
You may not know this, Ray, but Playboy turns 50 this year.
Yeah.
And you know what they're going to do?
So do you. So did you.
Well, do you remember when you turned 50 several
years
ago?
No, I don't. It wasn't that long.
I know it wasn't. Playboy is trying to make money off of high-end luxury goods by transitioning to that product, and as opposed to just, I guess, videos and magazines and so forth. And for a company that hasn't made profit in 3 years, it might not be such a bad idea. To commemorate the 50th anniversary, Roy, Ray.
Okay,
when
John,
you take Ray and play and make Playboy, you get Roy.
Roy
Playboy
Boy
is launching a limited edition collection. How many years have we been doing this? Limited collection of specialty products, some that are designed by well-known fashion houses like Versace and Sean Jean, which is P. Diddy's, or I like to say Puffy. Apparently, the apparel makers are going to be putting, I guess, the old rabbit on some of this stuff. Magazine sales, for the record, are half of what they were in their peak back in the 70s,
right? Really?
Total sales of Playboy magazines.
They're twice the price, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's true. Playboy magazines have slipped 5% from the year before, and the company still, as I mentioned, has not posted a profit since 1999. And just for the record, Ray, in addition to men's and women's velour track suits that have the little Playboy rabbit head on them, there will be limited edition skateboards and snowboards. But here's one that I thought was interesting. Playboy, it's a book, Playboy, 50 Years, the Photographs. It was released recently by Chronicle Books. So I just wanted to let you know, Ray, that I guess you can get rid of all those old copies under your bed because they got a book out now.
And the ones that I don't have, you do?
Well,
probably so.
I go between the mattresses.
God.
So I can't have that many, or my wife say, why is this bed higher than it?
You're in trouble now.
Yeah, I am.
You're in trouble. Yeah. Seems like a real good time to bring on Mary Lou Quinlan,
don't
you think?
Oh, why not? Sure.
Yeah, great wrap-up. So.
Yeah.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
With the holiday season coming up, look for a whole lot of cool new technology to buy. Most new gadgets are smaller, lighter, sleeker, with extra bells and whistles coming your way whether you want them or not. Women will tell you what they really wish for. How about if the new item just works? If you're marketing technology to women, get real. Got a new idea for a PDA? Okay, first, go out on the street wearing high heels. Start running for a cab as if you're late for a meeting. Pretend it's raining. Now, whip out an umbrella with one hand. With the other hand, the one that's carrying the heavy tote bag, reach into that bag for your prototype PDA. Click on it to find the address of your meeting. Oh, can't read the cool little buttons? Can't even see the cool little buttons? Then reach into your bag and search for your reading glasses. Yes, you've got a big over 40 market, so you can see. Now, try pushing the tiny buttons while balancing the bag, the umbrella, and the cab door. Whoa, the stylus dropped in a puddle. Don't you love it when technology is this easy? If you're in a position to affect the design or sale of any of this season's coming technology treats, keep this in mind for women. Make it simple. Make it readable. Make it work. Make it easy to operate with no hands and no time to spare. You'd be surprised. Men might like it too.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
That's some really good advice, too, from Mary Lou on the Advertising Show. I think, Brad, the last time that you wore high heels and tried to hail a cab in New York City, weren't you arrested?
Actually, it was a small wig that got me arrested. It got me arrested, but it had nothing to do with the heels.
But think about it. She really makes a heck of a lot of sense, you know. Try out the product from the woman or the female perspective and see if it actually works.
I think, you know, a lot of men design products today, and the ergonomics of those products do not always take in consideration women.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're one of the few men I know that can get by with carrying a handbag. But you always have it matching your shoes, though, which is what I like.
And the belt. Something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, did you GPS is playing into a lot of marketing promotions. Coke is using it. 7-Up is going to use it. Let's see. Chorus Canada took a national tracker bottle GPS promotion that ran in Quebec in 2001-2002 with some success as well. So what they're saying, the Coca-Cola promotion is drink your Coke this coming summer, feel like you're being followed, don't look over your shoulder, look in the sky for a helicopter attempting to deliver you a new Hummer.
No kidding.
My question is, so what if you – where do you find the little GPS chip in your your can? And you wouldn't drink it, or maybe you would drink it, and maybe just carry the whole six-pack with you.
Well, it's an interesting – it's an interesting idea. What, I guess they're using technology as a means to get the young people, the Gen Y and Gen Xers, engaging with the product and the brand.
Yeah.
But you're right. What, you know, what if you don't have the soda, but yet you have a chip underneath your skin because your parents took you to one of those Code Amber deals, you know, a few years ago.
They registered you, yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, you're being zeroed in on,
right.
But you don't have the Coke in your hand.
I don't know. It's kind of an odd promotion.
Yeah.
But, so we'll see what happens.
It's kind of like going through a metal detector with that metal plate that you have in your head, always making it go off.
Hey, you're about to head off to
Napa.
Napa Valley.
Yeah.
So don't wear any sharp objects, okay?
I won't.
On the Advertising Show, Drew Neiser coming up, president and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group, and we'll have him on in just a minute. Stay around.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast. Cause a kid will eat the middle of an Oreo first and save the chocolate cookie outside for last.
See, there's so much frosty cream between.
Aren't Oreo kids lucky?
You're on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and a classic spot from our friends at Oreo Cookies. And they tried to put the filling on the outside, and that didn't work.
Yeah, I read about that.
It went away very quickly. Kind of a dumb idea.
Well, it was messy, wasn't it?
I think so. I think it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Drew Neisser is our special guest. Drew has a distinctive knack for cutting through, especially the stuff that pervades the marketing industry, and that's not good stuff. After 15 years of working at the big guys, Wells Rich Green, JWT, and Chiat Day on many of the accounts, including Century 21 and Listerine, Drew opened up Renegade Marketing and has helped grow that into a big place. So, Drew, it's great to have you on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Drew, let's talk a little bit about the demographics of which particular demographic, if there are any, that appeal more to a guerrilla marketing tactic than any other. Are there?
I would say that we have found a way for to get apply guerrilla to every target. But that said, we have had particularly great success with the younger group, the 12 to 24 year olds. Here's a great classic example of this group. They will avoid your commercial. They will zap it. They will change channels. They will do everything, but they will stand in line for 60 minutes to get a free T-shirt and wear your logo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this group, they don't have a problem with brands. They love brands. They'll wear them, and they feel good about wearing them, but they want to be in control of the communication, and so if you're at a concert, which is a venue that they're very comfortable in, and you do something that can grab their attention and engage them and sort of get them interested in your brand, then you will really affect this group. But we've had equal success using guerrilla techniques for 35-year-old Asian Indians, or we're targeting a slightly older Hispanic group.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on what it is you're trying to achieve and finding a target inside with sort of classic advertising techniques from a strategic standpoint, knowing your consumer, and then go finding them.
Well, I think a lot of our audience certainly understands guerrilla marketing, but for those that may be listening that don't understand the concept, just real briefly, describe that for them, please.
Well, guerrilla is what you do when you don't have enough money to do television. I mean, guerrilla is in many ways is a coverall for tremendous creativity and unconventional marketing approaches. There is a reach the consumer, touch the consumer, a directly component involved in guerrilla. But the programs that we call guerrilla these days are multi-tiered, where you have a consumer interaction, you have a online component, you have a follow-up. So guerrilla is a pretty malleable term.
Mm-hmm. And yet today, Procter & Gamble, other major corporations, when they have a new product entry, may have a huge budget, but they'll still integrate a guerrilla marketing tactic into their overall marketing scheme, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the holy grail here is to, as they say, and it's overused, to start a buzz to get word of mouth going, but it is truly powerful. I mean, again, in the car industry, 50%+ of people say they're more influenced by word of mouth than they are by a television ad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what guerrilla is particularly good at, is getting positive word of mouth.
Well, Ray and I were going to last week talk about buzz marketing, and he said, which bar did you want to go into? And he misinterpreted, I think, what I was talking about there. But I wanted to, your company, Renegade Marketing, has its own rules for guerrilla warfare, and I believe you have four objectives that you you lay out there for guerrilla warfare. Let's take each one one by one here, and Drew, if you would, please. Starting with the first one.
Are you going to say it, or you want me to?
Well, either I can or you. You made them up. I've got them right here in front of me.
Well,
better if you do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, in no particular order. I mean, one of the first things that we're trying to do with guerrilla and the rules is to seek a response from the consumer, which is sort of, wow, I never expected that from this company.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example if we have time. Yeah. Do we have time?
Yeah, we have just a few minutes.
An example of that is, in New York, there's a big bank called HSBC, and it is the second largest bank in the world. Unfortunately, you folks don't have it in Houston, mm-hmm. but people know it as a conservative bank, as banks should be. They decided to take a risk and do some guerrilla, and what we did was we put a 1982 Checker cab on the road, completely refurbished it, and made that available free to HSBC customers. And what happens every single time when a customer gets in this taxi, they say, wow, I can't believe I'm getting a free ride in New York, because nobody gets free rides in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of a wow response, and they certainly never expected it from HSBC, nor, frankly, anything free from any bank.
And by the way, if you want to see an example of that, renegademarketing.com, you have that there on your website. And by the way, if you do get a free ride in New York, it's usually from someone you don't want to get a ride from.
the officer, and you sit in the back. Right?
Yeah. One of your other rules is risk factor details. Don't discuss risk factor details with your boss until moments before the launch. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's certain tongue-in-cheek in that rule. Clearly, there is more risk and potentially more reward in guerrilla. These things could be overthought, again, we typically test market all of our guerrilla programs to avoid disasters like our friends at Ogilvy and IBM had with the Peace Love Linux stencils that they did. There is a certain amount of risk that goes with guerrilla programs. You need to manage that risk. You don't want to overthink it. What we find is that the risk takers are not always at the senior level, but they get really excited about it when it works.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Rule number three, focus on a well-defined target. I think that's a given. You also mentioned gain genuine insight into your target's idiosyncrasies. I'd like to know, how do you dig for that? How do you get after that?
Well, you got to talk to them. You got to go and you got to get to know these people. And I'm not talking about focus groups. We, for many years, worked with IBM targeting software developers. And you know, one of the things that you first learn about this group of what we affectionately call geeks is they're quite comfortable with being geeks,
mm-hmm.
and sort of embrace the whole geekdom thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't know that if you didn't spend a lot of time with them.
I think, and that's, as you say, not in a focus group, but out where they live, work, and play, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your fourth rule, define objectives and set tangible metrics, which I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of companies fail to do.
Well, it's so true. And if you don't set a metric, then when you're done, what do you got to show for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all thought it worked.
or as crazy as it sounds, you don't thoroughly look at all of your objectives, and you don't really hold your objectives before your project. And then, as you just say, you have no way to measure your results. We have just less than a minute left here in this segment. I wanted to ask you, is there anything you're working on right now that's exciting that you can hold until after the break? You can think about that if you like, Drew. We have the music going now, so we'll wait on that.
Isn't that nice? We give our guests the opportunity to
think about
digest
it.
The question.
Yeah.
Right. Drew Neisser is our special guest, president and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group. By the way, the website, renegademarketing.com, mentioned the checkered cab is on there as well for the client HSBC Bank.
Mm-hmm.
What a great idea,
too. That's a great idea.
Man, drive you to the bank. Wonder if they want your money then at that point. Probably so.
Well, that's if you get the wrong one.
Yeah, exactly. With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, the wacky world of marketing on the way. Andy Borowitz is on the way later this hour. So if you were to go anywhere, you know, like out to the garage or maybe even in the kitchen, you might miss that, and that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? So stick around for the advertising show. There's more to come.
It's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our Wacky Update heads to Lincoln, Nebraska, where AP reports there's no chance of students getting drunk by bellying up to this bar on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln campus. The bar was serving bottled oxygen, not booze. I'm not wasted, says one student after inhaling 97% pure oxygen for about 5 minutes. I'm more relaxed. Students lined up for the chance to sit at one of three stools at the student union and inhaled the oxygen scented with one of 12 aromas, including lavender, vanilla, and strawberry. What you want to do is close your eyes, says one student, and relax your head. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow-white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Back with you for another segment here on The Advertising Show and another classic spot, that one being from our friends at Coca-Cola out of Atlanta, right?
Right.
Making a feel-good spot. That was, what is that, 1970s? Probably 1970s, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Anyway, Drew Neiser is our special guest, president and CEO of Renegade Marketing. We're talking about guerrilla marketing, and you had a question. The silly music came on,
right,
and you couldn't ask Drew.
Well,
what was your question?
Well, I forgot. No, not really. Before the break, I wanted to ask you, and this is an opportunity for what we call here on The Advertising Show a shameless plug, any big projects that you're working on right now or maybe just completed that you can talk about that our audience would be familiar with the brand name?
Well, the funny thing about guerrilla is that not every client wants publicity for their guerrilla efforts. We are currently engaged with both Fannie Mae and Merrill Lynch, and neither of them are prepared to share those with you. But I do have some that I can share with you.
You can tell us. Really? Come on.
Sorry. those clients are very important to us.
Yeah.
And intelligent folks. So we are currently working on a program for Panasonic, and it's out in L.A. This is the with our fun emergency vehicle. And what's interesting about this one is exclusively targeting the Hispanic market and out in Los Angeles. And we have a what we call our fun emergency vehicle, which has it's a converted ambulance and a karaoke setup, and what is the wow factor of that is you perform your karaoke, we videotape it, and we hand you a recorded DVD, which no one has really seen before, and that is that magical moment. And the great thing that we found with our Hispanic staff and the target is that they have thoroughly embraced this program. The dealers are thoroughly embracing it, and we're selling product. You know, not quite right out of the ambulance, but working with the dealers, they go from that experience, they see the DVD, they see the plasma TV, they see the cool little AV30, and off they go. So, and it's really, it's an amazing a brand experience, and we're thrilled it's working.
Well,
that's
a great idea.
That's very interesting. AdAge.com reports that Absolute is expanding its marketing effort into music with Absolute 3 Tracks, a collection of 3 dance songs by artists Taxi, Roller Cone, and Ariel Brica, being distributed on CD to club DJs and on the web so that you can actually go to Absolute.com and listen
right.
to the brand.
Yeah,
so it's along the same lines of what you were just talking about, Drew. I wanted to ask you, since you brought up stealth marketing, under the radar, any particular stealth marketing? First of all, what are your thoughts on stealth marketing?
You know, it's funny. It's one of the things that a lot of people think about when they think of guerrilla. To me, I actually, and remember, we do some pretty risky programs. I mean, we're the guys who did the Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down press party, which was sort of S&M themed press party. So we are not a conservative organization. But I think that stealth marketing, when you do not expose the brand, you are deceiving the consumer and breaking the trust that we work so hard to build. That's all brand is trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to, an example of that, Sony with their Sony Ericsson phones had the women in the bars pretending just to be women in the bars, and they'd get guys to sort of take their picture with their telephone. Well, I got to ask you, you're telling me that if you had a little Sony logo on that girl's shirt that the guy in the bar wouldn't have talked to the girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, come on, she's a pretty girl.
Right.
Right.
What they wouldn't have gotten is all the publicity in the marketing community about it. And if that was their objective, then they succeeded. But I think there's something more important. It's called the consumer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel duped, you're not going to feel positively towards a brand. And that is too big an asset to mess with.
You know, we have a couple minutes left, and you teased your S&M party. I think that was really a cool thing because I know about it from having seen that on your website. Talk a little bit about that. I think it tells a lot about your company.
Well, you know, sometimes a client will inspire and challenge you in a way you never expect. The client wanted to reach primarily the press and get the press to consider this to be the coolest, hippest, urbanist watch in America, and they said basically to us, put the shock in G-Shock. We presented them three ideas, the most outrageous of which was the Time Me Up, Time Me Down, and much to our surprise and thrill, they actually bought it, and we executed an event at the Roxy with some very interesting acts that I won't go into detail, but the product was integrated into these acts, and the press went away. There were about 200 members of the press and about 700 of the coolest, hip-looking New Yorkers you've ever seen. I had to hide. And the buzz for the next 9 months about this product, we had about 65 million PR impressions that we can link back to that event.
Would we be safe in saying that at that event you may have overheard the phrase, look at that piercing?
yes, you would.
Yeah. Or I didn't know you could wear a watch there.
Uh-huh.
That might be another one. Well,
you know, there was one gal who was one of the entertainers who, the person who was running our event was, kept having to say, put that top back on.
That's frequently what we say here to Brad of the Advertising Show. Okay?
Yeah,
on the Advertising Show, Drew Neisser is our special guest, president and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group, and we got to take a break for commercials, those wonderful things that sell products, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
That's Joni Summers in a classic spot for Pepsi Cola back in the 60s on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins, Brad Forsythe, and our special guest today, Drew Neisser, the president and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group. And just a short segment here, but let's keep it going.
Yeah, Drew, have you read any good books on advertising lately?
You know, I am reading one of my favorite books that Getting From Good to Great is not about advertising, but it's a great book. And I am reading Andrew Jaffe's book.
Oh, Casting for New Ideas.
I believe. You know, and what I so like about it is I haven't finished it yet, but the basic notion that we really have to reinvent this industry and restructure agencies. They have to rethink their drink, and I just, because that's what we're trying to do every day.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
I guess he maybe preaches to the converted, but I'm okay with that.
Well, lots been said about the best-selling book by Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point, which is, if you're not familiar with it, about asserting that trends develop and spread like viruses to various market segments. And as you mentioned earlier in the last segment about the market buzz and so forth, what do you think of The Tipping Point? Is that a book you could recommend, or have you read it?
I would. I mean, I feel like that it's, at this point it's sort of old news. I mean, Seth Godin wrote about it in his book about the sneezers and so forth. I mean, I think that no one would argue at this point that there are a group of people who can significantly impact brand decision making. I mean, one of the reasons that we target youth for Panasonic is they're the only ones who know how to program the VCRs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they influence their parents, and so there are. I think that's pretty accepted in the marketing community, that if you can influence the influencers, you're smart to do so.
What's your general assessment, Drew, of the advertising landscape today?
Oh, you know, in one sense, I'm tremendously optimistic as I see a lot of innovation. I think what Crispin Porter did with Mini, launching a brand new car without any TV, was, and the way they did it was truly groundbreaking. And that gives you sort of a glimpse of hope, but I think that is the exception to the rule, and that the big agencies are so locked into a traditional approach with their clients. I think the way that budgets are segmented into buckets like advertising and PR and promotion has got to change and will change. But then the agencies are going to ask themselves, what business are we in?
Mm-hmm.
And the business we're all in is marketing. And the clients are going to say, yeah, I have one budget. Tell me what to do with it. And
but the resistance to change comes from the client, not from the agency.
I think it is, but I think the agencies can drive the change, too. They've mm-hmm. been driving change in a lot of ways. I think what the media company, what's so interesting is the media companies, just the buying services, are doing great because in many ways they're driving the innovation because they're the ones who are actually spending the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, rather than the innovation coming from the agency, the guys who are supposed to be doing the great creative, it's coming from the media department who has the analytics to say, you know, spend your money this way and it may not even involve television.
So who's responsible for mediocre advertising, the agency or the client?
Oh, gosh. Well, we all know the answer to that. Of course it's, I think that I've worked with a lot of great clients and they've been able to do great work. I know that it's a collaborative effort. It is rare that a client that doesn't really know their business well and their target and isn't prepared to take a risk will get great work. But I also think that the agencies are, you know, irresponsible for not presenting better, and not just a better ad, but better thinking in terms of how to get the consumer to buy the brand.
Mm-hmm. It really, I mean, clients hire agencies to do a job, and I have a quote here, Ray, that I think is worth reading, and I've never read this on the show before, but I think it's very appropriate. Mm-hmm. Advertising may be the only business in the world where the clients with the most money can make the demands until they get the agency's worst product, while the small client with little to spend must accept the agency's best work. I mean, when you think about
that's
it.
That's true.
I think it's true and reflective. I mean, it's funny. When you're starting an agency, what you hope for is are big clients that will allow you to do really good work and small clients that will allow you to do outrageous work.
That's a good thought to end on, Drew. Go to renegademarketing.com to find out more. Drew Neiser, it's been great having you on your show today, President and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group from The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Thanks a lot, Drew.
Thank you.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days, there seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
That was a great campaign for Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people in Texas drink Dr. Pepper.
Because it was created here.
Yeah. Well, there was an original slogan, too, with Dr. Pepper. What, 10, 9?
10, 2, and
10,
4.
10, 2, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when you drink Dr. Pepper.
When they tried to get you to drink it.
Yeah.
I used to set my alarm for 2 in the morning. I never realized they meant in the afternoon.
Didn't get much sleep, huh?
No.
There you go.
Caffeine kept me awake.
Had a good conversation with Drew, and we look forward to talking with the author of a book. This ought to tell you a little bit about this guy. Hey, Whipple, squeeze this.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. The guy's name is Luke Sullivan. He'll be on The Advertising Show next week.
Yeah,
and
Luke,
next week will be November.
Can you believe it?
Man.
Wow.
Holy cow.
You know, Luke used to work at Shite Day, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. We tried to track him down because his book was such a great title, and then eventually got our hands on a copy. And you know where we found him?
Where?
GSDNM Austin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's enjoying himself up there. I've been watching...
Good agency.
Yeah, it's a great agency. I've been watching Imus on MSNBC in the morning.
I like Don. Yeah. Don's a good guy. Don's an old Cleveland guy. Don used to be on a station at WGAR in Cleveland.
Really?
And he worked with another gentleman from Cleveland, Big Wilson, on WMBC in New York years ago.
When he was on WMBC, I guess Howard Stern was doing...
He was on the other station.
Yeah. Well, actually, they were both on the same station for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was doing evenings or something.
They got upset with one another.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting...
Imus gets upset with a lot of people.
It's interesting to watch MSNBC in the morning if you can catch that instead of any of the other breakfast television you might be watching. You get a little glimpse of live radio from New York. Yeah, it's an interesting...
Or sometimes from his ranch in Mexico.
True.
That's an interesting concept, too. Want to talk about Britney Spears, who is a recent host of Saturday Night Live.
And on the front cover of the 75th anniversary edition of Esquire magazine. Yeah. Or is it the 50th or something?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, her butt sticking out there.
And some other things, too. But we won't go into that. Andy
Borowitz.
Andy Borowitz is coming up next.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
Deep divisions in the Bush administration over how to pronounce Al-Qaeda have bubbled to the surface in recent weeks as key players in the White House and at the Pentagon have failed to agree on whether the terror network should be pronounced with a long A or a long I. People will pronounce it one way at a cabinet meeting, and then someone else will jump in and correct them, said one insider. The environment around here is getting absolutely toxic. Heading up the Long A faction is Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, while the Long I pronunciation is favored by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. Those two were sniffy with each other to begin with, and now there's this whole pronunciation spat making things even worse, the insider said. Some administration aides, hoping not to get caught in the pronunciation crossfire, have taken to avoiding saying Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda altogether, merely referring to the terror group as those evildoers instead. But according to the insider, even that strategy has its pitfalls. Almost everyone around here is called those evildoers, including the Democrats, so it can get pretty confusing. At a briefing this past week, White House spokesperson Scott McClellan attempted to downplay any rift over the phonetic issue, telling reporters, ultimately, the president determines how everything should or should not be pronounced, and he will decide how to pronounce Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, just as he decided how to pronounce nuclear.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to BorowitzReport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Andy Borowitz on The Advertising Show, and that's true. No, it's actually fake.
No, it is fake.
Andy is on more than once a week now on CNN. They have him on a couple of times a week.
Morning show there.
Pretty soon he's going to become too big for his britches, and he'll say, I'm not going to be on your show anymore. No.
Well,
no, he won't do that.
If he gets too big for his britches, then he's a ringer for what? One of those?
Rush Limbaugh. Brittany is back with a TV spot. Didn't she drink the wrong diet soda and get fired or something?
Yeah, she was a spokesperson for Pepsi, and she was found drinking like a knee-high or something. I don't know.
Knee-high. Anyway, she's got apparently the most expensive commercial. It's a Gladiator-themed spot. She sings We Will Rock You along with Beyonce Knowles, Pink, and, of course, Brittany. So that's touting Pepsi.
Yeah.
And that's apparently something, it's a national campaign or an international campaign.
BBDO out of New York.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, Ray. I'm going to be taking a little trip here, and I'm going to be thinking about you while I'm gone. And until next week, I'm going to give you a little hint where I'm going, and it involves a corkscrew.
Yes. And it's not jail, folks.
Napa Valley.
Yeah, that'll be great. Listen, I want to... let's say 5 bottles of red will be fine. Bring that back if you can. Make it a whole case.
Little bottles of Tabasco, or what do you mean?
That's fine, too.
Bottles of red, okay.
That'll be good. Yeah. Hey, we've got Brad back from his big trip. Mm. It'll be Brad's excellent adventure. And we also have Luke Sullivan on the show next week, author of Hey Whipple, Squeeze This, Baby. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, this has been The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, a great sponsor you can visit online at adage.com. So until next week, have fun in Napa, and I'll be back here waiting for my bottles of fine red, okay?
Thank you.
The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production on the SSI Radio Network.